C2A. Number 7A.
We come to the next subtone of love. Very clear subtone. It says, if the disciple is advancing spiritually, can you hear the tone? To advance spiritually, now you have separated yourself from the wrong, have labored to separate from the wrong, now you advance spiritually. He is striving. You have again the tone of spirit as striving. The tone of mind is desire. The tone of spirit is striving according to that desire. He is striving to enter in. You get the sense, enter in, to come to the innermost of the holiest of holiest, to enter into heaven, to come to the final aim and goal, which is love. So you have a nice subtone of spirit as love. He constantly turns away from material sins. Can you again see the second day? Turning away from material sins and looks towards the imperishable things of spirit. Isn't it absolutely clear? So if honest, he will be in earnest from the start and gain a little each day in the right direction. Didn't we have got always that, to go into the right direction? Already at the point of mind as spirit, it says atonement must be along the line of spirit, into the right direction, not in the wrong direction. Here in the main tone of spirit, we have spirit as love, which says if we go really and strive to go along the right direction and gain a little each day, then we will finally enter in. Till at last, now we get the tone of love again. Till at last he finishes his course with joy. Can you see the fulfillment of it? You finish your course, it's accomplished. And you finish your course with joy, which is love. So that last tone, again, is very clear and simple, and it just shows that if we obey really that whole tone of spirit, with the command of spirit going out, and follow that in the right direction, that finally we will win the course, that we will arrive there, we will enter in, and we have a sense, I am now in the sanctuary of spirit. Yes. So, if we have done that and have seen the right text interpretation, arriving at more or less conclusive epitomes on the seven subtones, then we said yesterday, then we have really to sit back and say now, what does it all mean? Is it so that my findings show the word order again? If my findings were right and I could say, well, the first paragraph showed that whole subject from the point of view of mind, and I found out that the second one was spirit and then soul, the principle, life, truth and love, this would give us then an indication that we have found another category, namely the word category. That those seven synonymous terms are building the order of the word order, and that naturally is again a creative order. The word is a creative order. So that we sit back and say, well, in this case, Mrs. Eddy gives us an ordered law how to build up in our consciousness really again the word of spirit. So you ponder that and ponder that in your own terms and in your own way and with your own implications, but always going along that order. If that is a word order, then it must have in itself a logical order, a reasoning order. And that is always what I call the developing sequence, how the subject right from the beginning develops in a logical order. What is that logic here? And so we go over it, just talking about those seven subtones, and see that the main tone shows that if we are one with spirit, that spirit comes to us and impels spirit. It impels spiritualization. Now, most of the students of Christian Science really would like to see a line of spiritualization, long for that spiritualization, but we may not know how to realize it, how to make it real so that it unfolds more and more. Well, here we have the laws regulating that desire, and says, all right, in order to spiritualize, you have to start out with mind. And mind has said, well, I give you the command. I command you to act. You have mind. To act according to the impulsion of life. Namely, to act so that you have, according to impulsion of spirit. So that you actually have only one God and not many gods, and that you have the spirit as the only. So it says to us, therefore we have to comply with the commandment to act and be moved by the one spirit and not by spirits. What does that mean? That means then, as a subtone of spirit, that we have to see that that spiritualization is not the ritualization. That the adorable one and the spiritual worship of that commandment is not ritualized, so that we are not really observing rituals and are actually seeing that it is an inward purification, that, like the Mary Magdalene, that the little bit of purity and of spirituality that within is. That we is within us can be unfolded and can be enlarged and therefore can be really moved to unfold and to evolve. Therefore, I must worship spiritually and not outwardly, not ritualistically. If I worship spiritually, then the next question always comes up, that in worshiping spiritually, I have to reject all that which wants to prevent me from doing that. I come to soul, which says, therefore, reject everything that is not in the line of spirit. And only by this rejection of error, we actually can go forward. If we do not reject error, we always go one step forward and one step backward, and we constantly vacillate between spirit and matter. So the third point is that we have to reject the backward transformation and reject sinful material sense. If I do that, then there is nothing anymore sinful within me, and I begin to see, therefore, that that enables me to unlock, so to say, the whole realm of spirit. That therefore, with that rule, I touch the principle of being, the center of being, and therefore unlock. How can you say you enter really into the whole realm of the spirit, that the whole realm of spirit is open to us, and all that what spirit implies is then open to us, because I have already dealt with sinful sense and rejected it. And so that opens up our consciousness to the unlimited center and circumference of being. So I can see that, and I see, yes, but now I have to practice that in life. How can I practice that? And I see that I must lay down really the burden of life, that I can only run and go along the way of life if I'm not beset of a great burden, of a weight that is dragging me down and is keeping me back. I must see that spirit is life, and that life lives me, and that I don't have any responsibility for a material life. I have only one thing that I should be responsible for, to open up my thought to the one life that begins to live me. And I expect also that life lives me. How does life live me? And I come to truth, to the consciousness of manhood, where I begin to see that by doing really those daily deeds and do it constantly, that I fight a good fight, that if I stick to mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, that that constitutes then my consciousness, that that constitutes then the form of my manhood, that therefore then my manhood is a spiritual manhood. I'm a better man for that, because good then is reigning within me. And so I begin really to feel that I'm a better man, that I'm coming nearer really to the goal, which is set in the tone of love, which said, if I do that and go along that, then I can't help missing the boat. Then I will enter in to the point where I finish my course. How did it say? That I finish my course with joy, so that the spiritualization takes place completely. Well, that's the reasoning. Naturally, you can say, why is it in this order? Well, because it's a logical order. And you could, for instance, say, well, why isn't it in another order? And for yourself, you could start out and say, well, wouldn't it be reasonable if I would put, say, the third subtone in the first place? Wouldn't that be also reasonable to say, to start out right away with that third tone, where we reject error? Well, before you can reject error, you have to have really the one spirit which says, I give you the power to do anything. I'm that which moves you. If we don't have that as a basis behind ourselves, then we try to reject error from the human power, with human will, with the human mind, with mortal mind, thinking. So it shows that this order cannot be sidestepped. I cannot change that order. Now, another point is interesting. You know, we have seen last year, and also the 2 years before, actually, I started with that subject way back at the end of the summer school on Genesis, about the place value where we are today, and show what is the work we have to do today at the end of the 6,000-year period, making the transition into the 7,000-year period, where we begin to see that in the 5,000-year period, really, the main attitude was that of Christian Science, namely of showing how spiritual power has power over the body. And that therefore physical healing and demonstrating physical harmony was at that point the most important thing that was occupying the thought of the world. The 5,000 period that Jesus introduced, showing the improvement of the mortal, the physical harmony through science, through spiritual means, mind over matter demonstration, But then we could see that something more had to come, that Jesus said something more has to come. I could tell you a lot of things, but you can't stand it yet. You will not understand it yet. But I will send you a comforter that will tell you all things. And the textbook came and told us all things. But the textbook tells us more than just the science of physical harmony, than just showing that with spiritual means we should have power over the body. The science of spiritual harmony is something else. The science of spiritual harmony of the 6,000-year period tells us that we should demonstrate God and not demonstrate mind over matter. That the demonstration of mind over matter is just a spin-off of something much higher, namely of that which shows how to demonstrate mind, how to demonstrate spirit and soul and principle and life, truth and love, and therefore that is the higher demonstration of our days. But how? And so in our age, the idea has come not as a person like Jesus, it has come like a science, the Christ science. And we begin to learn something about that Christ science in this age by culturing our thought in the capitalized terms, by culturing our thought, what is mind, what is spirit, and so on, what is word, what is Christ, what is the level of Christian science, what is the level of absolute Christian science. We were beginning to culture our consciousness in something quite new that the world has not known up to this point, so that we tried no more to think in terms of human calculations, but suddenly in terms of the divine calculation that calculates with those three big categories of being, which we began to understand through the ideas which expresses those capitalized terms. That was our study. That's what we tried to do in our classes, in our educational program, that we say we introduce you from one class to the other into the three great categories of being, into the seven and into the four sides of the holy city, and then into the four levels of science. Meaning what? Meaning that the demonstration of today is to demonstrate that we have a categorized consciousness, that we have a consciousness that thinks in the divine categories of being, and have seen, therefore, also that in the measure as we study these three categories of being through the ideas expressing it, that was only really concept building, that we first of all acquired a new concept of reality. But then we began to see that if we are thinking about these terms, about the capitalized terms through the ideas of the capitalized term, that finally we would get the tonality of the capitalized terms and could drop really thinking in ideas of the capitalized terms. That would be really entering into the 7,000-year period. That in the 7,000-year period we are just thinking in the new language, the language of spirit, which thinks in terms of the capitalized terms in their three categories. Now this is the point that I want to bring out through our text interpretation, through our class, through the textbook here, is that we should use, therefore, the textbook and our findings of the textbook, just as we have done today, the findings of the subject of spirit under the impact of the Word as the Christ. Can you see that's the subject, the Word as the Christ, that's Atonement and Eucharist. Here showing the second subject of spirit, that we have actually only three elements at work, namely the Word as the Christ as spirit. So that whole thing can be reduced just to a consciousness that things in capitalized terms, which is naturally the redundancy principle, which says that includes all the ideas of Word, Christ, and Spirit. It's a redundancy principle where we are really using multiplication and not addition in Christian Science, and therefore go out always from the redundancy, from the superabundance of principle that includes all right ideas. Now the point is, how do we get the tonality of these capitalized terms? That's the point. Now, we have started out in getting the tonality of the seven synonymous terms in your classes or in the syllabus class, which we have been doing over a few years, where we said, well, you make a list of the capitalized terms of the seven synonymous terms, then think about those ideas of mind, what they mean, how they are interrelated, how they demand each other, how they bring out the tone of spirit, until finally, if we do that over a few years, that finally we are no more thinking in terms of ideas, but in terms of mind, or in terms of spirit, or in terms of soul, or of principle, or of life, or just in terms of truth, or just in terms of love. So we trained that. Now, the next step really is to train ourselves in the category and say, not only do we need to know the individual synonymous term, but we should also have a consciousness that catches the tonality, say, of the word order, of the whole word order, so that the word order is no more seen in seven, but just in one tone. No more analyzed into the seven steps, but just have a consciousness of the word, which would include then all the seven steps that lead to this tonality. Now that which is adapted to that training or to that culture is really here what we do with the textbook. For instance, today we have done the word order of spirit, or spirit in the word order. And so our training, our culturing is that we culture our consciousness to think along first the word order here in spirit, and acquaint ourselves with it, until finally that whole sevenfold order of spirit becomes just the word order of spirit, just one tone, and therefore we feel again that this simplifies really our consciousness even further. But to culture our consciousness into the creative, irresistible, unchangeable order of the word is something that we can't do in a week, that we can't do in a month, that we have to do over years and years, until we just naturally, quite naturally, think along the word order. So going through the textbook, finding constantly or repeatedly in each chapter somehow either the word order of the main tones or the word order in the subtones, and pondering them, not just always reading them, not just always looking with our eyes at these terms, but sitting back and looking into infinitude and listening to the tonality of the world, we culture ourselves over a period of time, sooner or later, into just thinking about the world in its sevenfold order, so that we embrace in consciousness where those capitalized terms and those categories just as a tonality without having to think about terms. We free ourselves of thinking in terms, in words, and the spirit, the tonality, takes over. That's what we should attain. And that's what we can attain if we take these things in a natural way. Also, when we have studied such a sequence as with spirit, we also said yesterday that we can ask new questions to such a sequence. Yesterday we asked, for instance, in the atonement of mind, what is a false sense of atoning, so that we are aware what would be wrong. Here, where we have a different proposition, namely the proposition that the Spirit says, turn away from the wrong and turn to the right, in order that we can atone completely with the one Spirit and enter into the sanctuary, we can ask ourselves here, therefore, from what do I have to turn away? What is it that wants to keep me back so that I'm prevented in going along the line of the spiritual order? So we can go again through these seven subtones and see what is it. I don't know if that is now grammatically right. Was it? What is it from which I have to turn away? Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. So in the subtone of mind, we have seen that we have to turn away from the belief in more than one God, in God's many. That was the subject there, that we should not have God's many. In the subtone of spirit, it said that we should turn away from ritualistic worship. So you can make yourself a list again, by classifying really those seven subtones in another category. Or in soul, we could see that what you said, that we should not go back, that we should turn away from going back constantly. Or in principle, she showed that we should turn away from material beliefs as the center of all. As the center of all. That we think everything has to turn around our personal, material, human beliefs. Or in life, she said, from what shall we turn away? And she said, put aside all your material weight, all that besets us. Therefore, laying aside and not taking up constantly the burden of life. In the subtone of truth, she said, turn away really from error, turn away from that we have to overcome error instead of letting truth overcome error. So turn away from that. That all hinders us to turn towards spirit. What did we see in the last subtone? The last subtone, she showed that we should constantly turn away from material sins. And not just once or twice, but constantly turning away. So can you see one can reduce a text, as we have done here, spirit, can reduce to seven short epitomes, bringing into focus just the main points. But then also we can ask new questions about it. Like here, that if it says turn away from something and turn towards the right thing, we can say, I must make conscious to myself what is really that from which I have to turn away, so that I'm conscious of the danger that besets me, that so that I'm not unconsciously doing the wrong thing. And so in order to make it conscious, you are helped by just making again a list of those dangers.